Blog Talk Radio.
Coming to you from the Block Talk Radio studio in the heart of Hudson County, folks. You know it is always in Union City and Weehawken, respectively. It's the latest edition of Working the Marks, and I am New Jersey's premier journalist, Fernando Uribe, and my broadcast partner. He is New Jersey's premier wrestling analyst, the great Patrick Rivera. What's going on, PR?
Bon dia, senor. How are you? It is a strange day for weather again here in Hudson County. It's in between cold and hot, but that's a sure sign that we're getting to WrestleMania.
That's right. It is WrestleMania season, and let's start with that, folks. A great card coming up next weekend. The most stupendous WrestleMania emanating from what I would argue the most stupendous stadium in the planet. Cowboy Stadium.
No,
in Arlington,
not
Texas,
the planet.
Folks.
Not the planet. Not the planet. You know what? Maybe the United States. Too bad the team that plays there sucks. But you know what? The Santiago Bernabeu in Madrid has something to say about that. Wembley Stadium
I've
has something
there.
To say about. I mean,
I've been to Estadio Bernabeu, and it's great, bro. But it's not that roof and
they modernized it now.
Well,
now they're modernizing it, you know, and then Monumental in Argentina, you know, come on.
Well, hey, listen, it's not the great state of Texas, the great freedom-loving state of Texas that I love so much, and, you know,
Cowboy fans, that y'all got to now you got to brag about your stadium because your team sucks? Is that what it is?
Well, we'll get back to some glory someday. If the Eagles can win a Super Bowl in my lifetime, maybe we will too. We'll see. But, folks, next weekend – it is an amazing weekend of professional wrestling. It's WrestleMania 38. My God, I'm getting old because I remember the first WrestleMania. I remember watching it on closed circuit television. So I'm dating myself a little bit here, ladies and gentlemen. But it's WrestleMania 38. It's a two-night affair. I don't know, man. Pat, the Marks keep bitching and moaning online about, like, oh, this is expensive. I can't believe Vince is doing this to us. Why not just do it on one night? But guess what? They're still going to tune in next Saturday and Sunday for WrestleMania 38. So let's get to the card here. Let's get to WrestleMania Saturday. And so far, again, it's not confirmed completely. It could all change this week, right, with Raw on Monday, the go-home show, and even the SmackDown on Friday coming up. But on Saturday, we will be seeing the SmackDown Tag Team Champions, the Usos, taking on their challengers, Shinsuke Nakamura and Rick Boogs. You know, great workers all around. The Usos have been like that quality tag team, not just on SmackDown, but in WWE, I would argue, for probably a better part of a decade in terms of their in-ring work, their mic work, their evolution of their characters. I think this is going to be a great match. I always like to go with the challengers during WrestleMania. I'm looking at Shinsuke and Rick Boogs to take the belts from the Usos.
Being there last night in Brooklyn for SmackDown, I was there with my tag team partner for life, Judah. We were kind of taking a look at some things there. You know, I got a little feedback from him, and it kind of seems like the Usos might lose, but I got to tell you, man, I have a feeling that WrestleMania is going to be big for the Bloodline, and I expect the Usos to retain.
Listen, it should be a great match. It's good workers. I think Rick Boogs has really come along. Not really a fan of cutting his hair. He looks like, I don't know, he looks like Ted Arcidi back from the mid-80s there, if anyone remembers that.
I think it was a great move. I think it was a great move. And last night kind of shows why they cut his hair, because last night he started doing the mock Freddie Mercury, scaling with his voice like he did at Wembley in that famous concert. So
yeah.
I think they did it to give him kind of more of a Freddie Mercury look. And with the way Nakamura is, his entrance is obviously citing Freddie Mercury, Michael Jackson, and influence on the way he looks, his style, you know, his drip, if you will.
Sure.
I think that they kind of did it to give Boogs a little bit more of a Freddie Mercury look, you know? And I think it works for him. I think
that's right. No,
he's good enough where nothing will hinder him, I think, you know?
Yep, that's fair. And again, it should be a great match. Again, I'm not, folks, and just to be clear, I'm not telling you the order of the card. This is just the matches we see. I mean, we'll see how Vince, you know, sort of structures the pay-per-view on Saturday and Sunday in terms of the order of matches. So we'll see. Drew McIntyre and Happy Corbin. Pat, I'll be honest with you, man. I get it. It's something for Drew to do on SmackDown. You know, Happy Corbin, you know, he serves his purpose. He's an obnoxious heel. Again, this is a match. I hope it's the first match. I hope they get it over with. And I hope Drew kind of gets back in the title picture. You know, with Big E's unfortunate injury, it seems like, you know, maybe after WrestleMania, maybe McIntyre gets pushed into the title picture again. You know, I just want this feud to be over. It served its purpose for these months, but let's be done with it at Mania.
Happy Corbin has the most important streak in professional wrestling right now. And I think we need to respect that, number one. I know there's another show that talks about a streak, but that's irrelevant. I think that's a streak in their underwear. But if I'm not mistaken, Happy Corbin does have an undefeated streak for quite some time. Look, I mean, some people might not like it. Some people do. I think this shtick is pretty funny. I think everything that they did with all the vignettes, him being broke and then him winning and then, you know, rocking the fedoras and then having Madcap Moss, who I think is a really talented guy. He's got a good look. It's stupid look, you know, with the fucking suspenders. Pardon my French again. But, you know, he has that look. He has something going for him. And I'll be honest, you might not like it. Some people might not like it, but that crowd yesterday was into it. And everything that they showed, whether it was on the screen or out in the ring, got a pop. It got a reaction, you know? So I think that he's very good at what he does, Baron Corbin. He's legit. He's a guy that you do not want to pick a fight with if you see him out in the street. And he's found something you know, that's not necessarily a conventional kind of look and style, but it's something that he's kind of molded into his own. And I think he's doing a great job with it. I think Madcap Boss is doing a great job with it. Drew is a worker's worker, and Drew is going to make this interesting. And, you know, they'll make it a good match for the audience. And I think it's going to be one of the sleeper WrestleMania matches, honestly.
I do agree with you.
I mean, they're both very good. They are. Whether people like it or not, like, they're both very good. You know, Drew, obviously, but Corbin is very good. Like, his fundamentals, everything that he does in the ring, it makes sense. The fans might not like the gimmick or whatever the writers have for them, but he as a performer is excellent. And he's been able to adapt and evolve and stay fresh. Even if people might not like him, he still stays fresh. He's still something. And like I told you, being there yesterday, they reacted. People were into it. People are into it. So, you know, Vince isn't going to listen to the filthy, disgusting, you know, basement-dwelling marks. He's not going to listen to them. He's not going to listen to them. He's going to listen to the audience. He's going to listen to that crowd that's there. And that's why people, you know, got up in arms about what he said on McAfee. But let me tell you, man, like, that was spot on. Why would you listen to the smaller percentage of the audience that's just negative and very vocal when you can listen to the people that are actually going to make you money?
No, I agree. I agree. It's not, again, it's a match that I'll agree with you. I think it has the potential to be a sleeper match. I just hope this feud is over after Mania. I'd like to see Drew back in the title picture because I think that's where he should be.
Yeah.
But we'll find out.
Agreed.
You know, also, we have a very interesting tag team match. We have the Mysterios, Rey and his son Dominic, challenging The Miz and Logan Paul. Again, you know, the marks online, Pat, bitch and moan about, oh, Logan Paul's presence and what that means. At the end of the day, listen, he's got a great social media following. And these are all things, like you mentioned, you know, you referenced McAfee's interview with Vince McMahon. You know, Vince McMahon looks at all of these things. He looks at, you know, the performers. He looks at, like, their outreach, what they bring to the table. And, like, listen, whether we like it or not, you know, people have been mentioning for years that, oh, well, Vince doesn't get enough celebrities back in Mania. You know, we don't have guest timekeepers anymore, or guest ring announcers, or guest referees. Well, you know, he's getting celebrities that cross over from pop culture into WrestleMania. Last year, he had Bad Bunny in a match. against The Miz and John Morrison, you know, tagging with Damian Priest. Hey, you know, don't tell me that Bad Bunny's a gazillion Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter followers weren't going to maybe try to catch Mania a little bit, because that's the mainstream appeal. And I think Logan Paul, again, checks off that box for Vince. He's going to get a new set of eyes on WWE's product. And at the end of the day, that's just, listen, folks, you don't need a PhD from the Harvard Business School in economics to know that this is smart business, okay? You learn this in Economics 101. Vince, I think, is being smart. I kind of get a feeling that The Miz and Logan Paul, just because The Miz hasn't really gone over on pay-per-views lately, I think The Miz is due a win here. I think The Miz and Logan Paul go over.
For me, you know, here's the thing. Like, in regards to all the celebrity stuff, right? Bad Bunny, right? Everybody talked all this shit. You know, there was dude, oh, Bad Bunny, who's that, bro? You know, why can't they get this guy or that guy? Because this guy and that guy don't have a billion followers worldwide. But whatever. That's besides the point. He came in, and they put him in a situation where it worked. And granted, it's a music star. You know, it's. I'll be honest, for me, it's a little hokey. But they did a fantastic job with what it needed to be. You know, now with Logan Paul, he's not Bad Bunny. He's not Bad Bunny. He's a singer. Logan Paul is hold on a second. I got to take a breath and I got to prepare myself for what I'm about to say. He's a boxer. Okay. Whether people like it or not, he's a boxer and he's an athlete. And he's the guy that you look at and you go, this guy can kick my ass. So he has that big following. He and his brother have a ton of heat with everybody. Okay. They get a response, good, bad, or ugly. They get a response. And then you put him with The Miz, who's another guy that's pretty much the same thing for WWE. But not only that, this is a guy who's, you know, he knows their style. He understands what they're about. He knows how to work. He knows how to do what they need to do for a WWE-style match. And he can go. He can go. So that coupled with Rey Mysterio, who's the greatest, arguably the greatest babyface of all time, and his son Dominic, who's shown a lot of promise, you know, it's going to be an interesting match. And as far as Logan Paul goes, I think he's a dude that should honestly drop the boxing, because obviously it looks like his brother's a little more successful at that. He should drop the boxing, and he should really consider becoming a WWE superstar. He's a guy, as we like to say on Work of the Marks, available on Blog Talk Radio, he's a guy that checks off a lot of boxes. He really, really does. And if he has the athletic ability, he could be a potential main eventer, you know? And he will also fit in that Brock Lesnar mold, not exactly, but something similar to it, where he's a guy who has combat sports experience, and now he's a wrestler. So now when you look at him, you believe that this guy's legit. You know what I mean? Because everybody knows it's a work. Everybody knows that. But it's a matter of legitimacy, you know?
Absolutely.
I kind of see Paul and Miz going over in this one, but I think it's going to be a well-produced match. If Paul does well and he's kind of moving along okay, then it'll be good.
Absolutely. And again, I think any inadequacies he has right now as a worker, I think are going to be covered up by guys there, and they're going to take care of him, right? Ray and The Miz, respectively. So I think should be an entertaining match. I think that maybe the promos will be funny as well. Speaking of good workers, I think the match that I would argue probably Saturday is going to steal the show is going to be Edge versus AJ Styles. I think that these are two consummate professionals. You know, we all know about Edge. We all, you know, let's appreciate him now as he's come back and give him some great moments, right? That Rumble moment in 2020 when he came back. Certainly that great match against Randy Orton, again, supposedly the greatest wrestling match ever, which I think is still a little disputed, but whatever. Great match there. Coming back to win the Rumble last year, main eventing WrestleMania, that feud with Seth Rollins. I mean, just using the old Brood entrances at SummerSlam, and it's been great. I think his heel turn's interesting. It's nothing we haven't seen before in terms of a vicious heel and Edge. I think, I'm not saying he's recycling it, but it's a little bit of a different look with being a heel now. And AJ is just AJ. He just re-signed, got a nice big contract. I think this match is going to be entertaining. This is probably – listen, when I look at Drew McIntyre and Happy Corbin, that's a match I'll probably want to go to the fridge or go to the bathroom and take a, a break for. That's not a match – this is a match I want to stay on my sofa to watch. I mean, we won't be doing that. We'll be at Jack Dempsey's next Saturday to watch WrestleMania Night 1. But I think this is a match we're going to be glued to the TV set, bro.
Absolutely. I think this is going to be, one of the show stealers for sure. I really enjoy what Edge is doing. Obviously, all the nostalgia stuff is good. It generated interest, money, had some good matches. But I like this a lot. Now I'm really interested in Edge. Because I'll watch Edge's work. He's fantastic.
Yeah.
But, all the gimmick stuff around him, I'm kind of like, I'm kind of done with. But this, now I want to see his promos. I want to see what he's doing. I love everything that he's done. He stripped it down completely. He's calculated. He's cold. He's refined his look. I'm curious to see what he's going to wear at WrestleMania now. And I love the fact that he took away the theme song. I mean, we've talked about it with a few other wrestlers, but he took away something that always pops the crowd, always pops the crowd. So now he just walks out there like that, and it's just very and the fans want to see his theme song. They want to see Edge, right?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I think it's a smart little move because it kind of takes the focus off of him and it kind of puts it more on AJ and it kind of, gives AJ a kind of a rub in a way, but I expect nothing but the best from two of the very best. Ric Flair made some comments earlier this week, I think, on his podcast in regards to AJ Styles, saying that, everybody right now feels that Bryan Danielson's the best in the business, which, no surprise there. But he feels that AJ Styles is levels above him, that he's so much better than he is. AJ Styles is excellent. And for his generation, which Bryan Danielson's a part of, he's certainly up there. But Bryan Danielson, with what he's been able to do, with how he's been able to improve throughout the length of his career, I think he's much, much, much better. And he had a pay-per-view and sold the stadium out,
But Pat, listen.
That being said,
Daniel Bryan's had a more captivating moment in his wrestling career than AJ. AJ's a great worker. He's never had the moment that Daniel Bryan did in New Orleans, 80,000 people screaming simultaneously. Yeah, there's no way.
He drew that.
Again, nothing
he drew
AJ.
That card.
Yep. Yep.
He drew that
absolutely.
Card. You know what I mean? So,
absolutely.
So AJ
absolutely.
Is fantastic.
It should be a great match.
Who do you see going over on this one?
Yeah, absolutely. I see AJ going over. But who knows? It might be a coin toss, as they say, leading up to match time. Now, again, folks, we're going by what's being reported online, even on the WWE main website. So it seems like both women's title matches are going to be on Saturday. Again, that could change. We'll see. But we have the SmackDown Women's Championship, Charlotte Flair, challenging, obviously defending the belt against the 2022 Women's Royal Rumble winner, Ronda Rousey. I'll be honest with you, man. I'm how much of a mark I am for Ric Flair, his daughter, the housekeeper, the gardener. I love the Flair family. I love Charlotte. It seems like Ronda, obviously, they're pushing her to the moon to win this belt. I'll be honest with you, man. I think Ronda's return has been a little flat. I think some of these segments have been a little nothing to write home about. I get it. Vince would like to put the belt on her. It seems like that's going to be the plan. You don't have her come back win the Rumble to lose at WrestleMania again because she already lost at WrestleMania 3 years ago. I was there at MetLife Stadium watching her lose to Becky. So, should be a good match. I think Charlotte will help Ronda along. I think Ronda's still very green, per se. I'd like to see Charlotte go over, but I'd be shocked if she did. I think Ronda Rousey's going over in this match.
I'm with you on that. I kind of, with Ronda, it's interesting. I think they're going to have to simplify the match a lot because Ronda's timing might not be there yet. But then again, I don't know. I haven't seen her in the ring. It seems like she's been training, but it seems like she's been training a lot of submission style stuff. A lot of that could be covered up with chain and they could do it aggressively. Charlotte, the best in the Flair family, better than the man, better than Ric Flair. Charlotte is going to have a fantastic match with her and lay those shots in, and it's going to be really, really good. But I totally see Ronda going over. I mean, what's the point of having her come back and win the Rumble if she's not going to go over in this?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, it wouldn't be the first
time. Give her
time.
A good match. You know?
Yes, exactly. Huh? It wouldn't be the first time that a Rumble winner has not won their respective title match at Mania. It happened 4 years ago with Asuka, right? She won the inaugural Women's Royal Rumble, lost
Fern,
to Charlotte in the
Wallen. You don't bring back Ronda Rousey to have her job. I'm sorry. You just don't.
No, I agree.
You don't.
I agree. Again, there's been a handful of times, both guys and girls, that haven't won their title matches after winning the Rumble. I don't see that going on here. I think Ronda's going over as well. Apparently, the Raw Women's Championship match will also be on Saturday. Becky Lynch is scheduled to defend against Bianca Belair. They're trying to push this angle concerning Bianca, whether or not the injury is legit. Maybe it's just kayfabe. Maybe it's just a way to sort of, you know, make Bianca a more sympathetic figure. I've said this to you on previous episodes, man. Listen, Bianca's a hell of an athlete. She's a, you know, good interviewer, fine. That's not my look. That's not my gimmick that I like. I don't really care for it. I get it that it's over with the crowd.
What's not your look? The boots, the tights, and the crop top?
You know, I just don't like the twirling of the hair, the whipping of the hair, using it as a – that just doesn't work for me. Again, but that's not – I'm not
You don't like originality?
Well, I'm not the person Vince
that's an original
trying
gimmick.
To win over. No, I get that. And I get that, you know, and Vince is pushing performers and stars that maybe, again, not towards people like me, younger, inspiring young women to become professional wrestlers. That's what Bianca does, right? She, you know,
there's
obviously.
There's people your age that like her, right?
I'm not one of them, but yeah, sure. That's fine. I think that they're trying to make her more of a sympathetic figure going into this match. Certainly, Becky has been doing the best work of her career since the man phase, you know, once she, you know, back in early 2019 going into that Mania. Listen, I think this is also a coin toss. It would seem that Bianca would win again like she did last year, but I wouldn't be shocked if Becky retains just because right now she has been on a serious, serious streak of success in that women's division.
It depends where they're going, you know. It depends what the long-term goal is. Obviously, they're going to want to try and have a rematch, you know. I mean, unless Bianca has to work her way through the rankings. You know, I think it's going to be a great match. I mean, and I'm with you. Becky for me is the female GOAT. She is. I know a lot of people will dispute that. And if you want to dispute that, feel free to email the show. But I think she's on a different level. I think maybe there might be some type of a nagging injury, something that's kind of keeping her off TV for a little bit, aside from obviously trying to get the heat for Becky. But I don't know, man. It's been good. Becky's promos have been holding it up. I kind of want to see a little more for Bianca. But I think the match is just going to be awesome. And I see Bianca getting her win back after the embarrassment at SummerSlam.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair for sure. Definitely something to watch out for. And tentatively, again, what it seems, the main event may not really be a match Saturday. It's the KO show, as Kevin Owens will be hosting the KO show segment in the ring. And, you know, Stone, the Hall of Famer, the greatest draw, in my opinion, in the history of professional wrestling, Stone Cold Steve Austin will return to confront Kevin Owens. What that means? Exactly. What that means, I don't know. Is it just sort of a Piper's Pit segment with Roddy Piper and Morton Downey Jr. from WrestleMania 5? Is it, you know, a Piper's Pit with him and Austin in 2005? I don't know. I don't know what this is going to be. Is it going to be a match? Is it going to be a street fight? You know, Kevin Owens has been saying some vile things about the great state of Texas. Stone Cold Steve Austin, as you know, in his response, did not take kindly to that. It's his home state. It's a beautiful, freedom-loving state. And, you know,
oh,
Steve
my
Austin
God.
Comeback,
Jesus, bro. Just move
you know,
there already.
You know?
Move there.
My home's here.
My
God.
My
brand is here. My brand is in New Jersey, okay? My brand's in New Jersey. So, you know, I'll continue living in a cesspool here in the Garden State. But, you know, Pat, I don't know about this. I don't know if this is going to be a match. I think everyone's really enthralled about it. I'm excited to see Austin back at Mania. We haven't seen him at Mania since, again, back in Dallas, Texas, back in, 2016. I don't know, man. It's been 19 years. He looks like he's in excellent health. We don't know what his body's about. I don't know if he wants to take some bumps here. We don't know what's going to happen, but I'm pretty sure if this is the main event or the top attraction for Saturday, I think it's going to blow the roof off the stadium.
Pardon me. I think they're working everybody, man. I think the deal is done. I think everything's signed. I think they're kind of hyping it up. You know, they're working, they're quote unquote working the marks. And they've known for quite some time that this is going to be a match. They've known, man. And I think they're kind of just keeping it hush hush. I think Steve's throwing a lot of red herrings out there online. I don't know if you've seen some of the stuff where he's saying, oh, you know, the offer that they gave me for a match wasn't impressive. You know, Steve's, you know, it's looking like Steve's not doing a match, you know, all this other stuff. They're really trying to work everybody. And they're really trying to get everybody to think that all that's going to happen is Steve's going to come out and, you know, he's going to talk some shit. You know, he's going to drink some beer and he's going to stun Owens. And then like, that's it. Or he'll stun him a couple of times, you know, with the beer and everything else. I mean, that's what people think is going to happen. But I got to be honest, man, if you're saving this for that show and you know, there's really like no clear-cut main event at this point. I mean, outside of what, the two women's matches? I guess the Becky match would be the main event, wouldn't it? Or Edge? Or I would say Becky.
I don't know, yeah, man. Becky. It would seem. I guess it's kind of hard
actually,
to call
you know
this.
What? You know what? Flair and Rousey is the main event. Because Ronda Rousey's the biggest star outside of everybody on that show that night. Let's be real.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. You know. Mm-hmm. I mean, outside. Well, Steve. Her and Steve. I would say.
Sure.
You know?
No, listen, I get it. No, absolutely.
But it's I think they're working everybody, man, and I think Steve and him are going to have a match, and I think everybody's going to fucking love it, and it's going to take everybody by surprise, and all these goof internet marks that, you know, that are journalists or think they are, you know, they're all going to feel like idiots, and they're all going to love it too.
Well, again, a lot remains to be seen about what comes on Saturday. I think it's listen, just Austin's arrival is going to be amazing for sure. Let's move on to Sunday here. Kind of less matches on the card. Again, this is tentatively what's being reported. And just as a side note, I mean, maybe it's just because I want to bitch and moan. It's our show. We get to do that. You know, why the U.S. title and or the Intercontinental Championship, the coveted Intercontinental Championship, which has brought us so many classic moments in WrestleMania history, why that's not being defended at WrestleMania is beyond me, Pat. Maybe I'm nitpicking here because I like to do
SmackDown.
That.
You have to sell a SmackDown. That's why they're doing the Andre the Giant over the top rope invitational Memorial Battle Royal.
Memorial
Battle. Okay.
Say that five times fast, drunk and sober, man. That's crazy, right?
That's a skill. But, yeah. I mean, bro, you got to sell a SmackDown. Look, fans are going to complain no matter what. Oh, then the card's too long. There's too many things on here. You got to sell shows. You got to get people there. That's it. Who cares?
Well, listen, it's
so people
listen,
are
going to
complain that they're
going
to see Finn Balor wrestle or Ricochet? Come on.
No, listen, it's a long weekend of wrestling. Obviously, there's stuff going on Friday, you know, with other promotions and WrestleMania weekend, the SmackDown, both nights of Mania, Raw Monday in Dallas. You know, it looks like the card on Sunday looks a little thinner than Saturday. Again, this is what's being reported. That could all change this week. Who knows? But we see Pat McAfee challenging Austin Theory. I've kind of liked this feud progressing since Vince appeared on Pat McAfee's show, which, again, I've just become a regular watcher on YouTube when I can during the week at work. You know, again, a lot of the internet journalists, which we'll get to in a little bit, were reporting that Vince was going to be facing McAfee. I don't know. Maybe, again, that was being reported. Who knows? Maybe Vince was just working the dirt sheets and working the journalists or so-called or the lack thereof. Obviously, maybe someone talked him out of it. Who knows? But Austin Theory is the one being elevated to that spot to face Pat McAfee. I like Pat. I think, again, Pat checks off a lot of boxes. He's another mainstream guy, has a very popular daily podcast on YouTube. he's a good athlete. I mean, again, in his feud with Adam Cole during 2019, I think it was a great, great show, great, great program. I think McAfee, clearly you can tell he's a fan of the industry since a kid. You know, he talked about this. He's loved pro wrestling. You know, now, again, whether or not you want to call Pat McAfee a mark, you know, that's up to you, folks. But I think this match is – I would have liked a little bit more volatility. I know this past week on Raw, Pat McAfee came and came to ringside, did some commentary. I would have liked to see more backstage stuff, maybe like Pat McAfee jumping him, Theory jumping him on SmackDown. I don't know. Maybe I'm just being overly critical, but, like, I think this match has the potential to be entertaining. And, you know, for whatever shortcomings Pat McAfee has as a worker, Theory is going to help him in that match for sure.
Yeah, Pat McAfee, I mean, he did really good when he had those – I think he did a couple matches with Cheeky Thing in NXT.
Adam Cole. Adam Cole.
Who? Alvin Cole, baby?
Adam Cole.
Is that who?
The guy that if he super kick you or me would hurt, okay? Like, I'm sure. He's a grown man.
That shit ain't going to hurt. I'm not selling that. I ain't selling shit. If he buys me a beer, I'll sell it, but that's it.
Oh, my God.
But I think his matches with Cheeky Thing were pretty good. I think, you know, the stuff that he's shown to do is good. His whole appeal is that he's a regular everyday fan. He's a mark just like us. You know, and, you know, he's really good. He's got the gift of the gab. Fantastic name, by the way, I got to say. And he's somebody that's shown to be able to grasp the fundamentals of wrestling. Austin Theory, to me, is a rising star. I look at him, MJF, Angel Garza, guys like that, and I'm like, you know, Sammy Guevara has that potential too, but I look at those guys, and I'm like, damn, these guys are good, and they're going to only get better. And Austin Theory, I think, you know, he's a good worker. He's a solid worker. They're going to be able to put together some good stuff. The match will be produced very fucking well. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, you know, Vince is going to work the match. But I think they did that. They put that out there because they knew that that would get attention. They knew that everybody would talk about the rumor of Vince potentially wrestling a match. But I do think Vince will get involved in this somehow. And I think that it's going to involve some big, crazy bump.
Pat, do you think it will involve him being a referee, or you think Vince will come to ringside to maybe take a side here?
I think somebody's going to get put on a table, and Vince is going to jump off a ladder or something. That's what I think.
No,
something crazy.
No, Jesus.
Something that people do not expect, but it's something that Vince could do. And I think a lot of this kind of spawned from the fact that Vince, I don't know, you remember that documentary they had on the network of leading up to WrestleMania where he was showing Gronk how to take the bump off onto the crash pad. And he went up there and like demonstrated this. Vince is not afraid to do any of that stuff. For WrestleMania, and more importantly for Taker, because this show it's a dedication to Taker. You know, like whether you know, it's WrestleMania, yeah, it's Hall of Fame weekend, but this is Undertaker's like tribute show. You know what I mean? That's the way I think they're treating this, which is why they're having so many Texas wrestlers. I wouldn't be surprised if we see the GOAT, Shawn Michaels, there. But, you know, I think it's going to be interesting. And from what I understand, too, they're doing a documentary on Vince. They're filming one. I think Netflix is doing it, or somebody's doing it. And it's basically Vince's life story, which I think is really important to be told. But
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, I fully expect Vince to get involved and take some kind of bump.
Absolutely. I'd like to see Pat win just because I'm a mark for Pat McAfee. But who knows? Maybe Theory goes over and maybe we extend this feud.
I want to see Theory.
Yeah, we'll see. It should be a good match. Again, I'm not saying this is the opening match, but obviously one of the matches on Sunday. Moving along here, the Women's Tag Team Championship match. A fatal four-way of the teams involving Natalya and Shayna Baszler versus Rhea Ripley and Liv Morgan versus Sasha Banks and Naomi versus the champions, Queen Zelina and Carmella. I think that this has the potential to be a great match again. I recall the fatal four-way back in 2019 here at MetLife Stadium for WrestleMania. Very entertaining match. I was happy with that result when the Iconics winning the tag team titles. I got to say, man, I'd like to see Liv and Rhea win this. Liv, because she's a Jersey girl. Rhea, I think, because you know, I listen, she has a lot of potential. She checks off a lot of boxes again. Athlete, strong, has a good appeal to her. I'd like to see them win, but I think it's a coin toss at this point about this women's tag team championship match.
So last night in Brooklyn, the match of the night outside of Ricochet versus Angel and Humberto, I would say it was the four-way between Shayna, Rhea, Zelina, and Sasha. And those girls, I mean, they put in a shift. And the crowd was into it. The crowd was hot for it. Had a lot of great spots. Based on the crowd reaction and what I saw, I'm with you. It's a coin toss between Rhea and Liv, and I would say Sasha and Naomi, because the crowd just loves Sasha Banks, man. I mean, she's just such a great, great talent. But the crowd is like was into everything she was doing. And they like Rhea, they like Liv, but Sasha was just, I don't know, she just has that thing. So, yeah, I'd say it's between those two. I would like to see Liv and Rhea win so that Liv could, you know, get a championship. And she's working with a good worker in Rhea there too. But Sasha and Naomi are just, yeah, they're pretty over. So I don't know. Either way, I think it's going to be great. And I think all those girls are going to kill it. So I'm excited
absolutely.
For that one.
Absolutely. Another tag team championship match on Sunday will be the Raw tag team titles as RK-Bro, Randy Orton, and Matt Riddle will defend against the Street Profits and also Alpha Academy. Listen, these are three teams, man, that have been doing great work for many, many months. Alpha Academy has, I think, come a long way from kind of being this team that just kind of got put together in creative over a cup of coffee. And you know what? They've made it work. You know, you have to love Chad Gable as a guy with multiple graduate degrees. I love a guy just espousing the attainment of a graduate degree. So I love that about Chad Gable. I think that Otis, for a guy that went from being really over winning Money in the Bank and then just kind of fall into obscurity, I think this has been a great, great gimmick to hand to him. I think they've made it work. The Street Profits are the Street Profits. They're entertaining. RK-Bro, again, this is, you know, you have to feel happy for Randy Orton. He's a guy who's been in the business over 20 years. He stayed relatively healthy. You can tell he's having a lot of fun. Riddle, I think, is a rising star in the WWE. Listen, another coin toss. I can't really call this. But if you had to, you know, again, put a gun to my head, I would say, you know what? I think RK-Bro retains.
They definitely didn't put this team, put Alpha Academy together over a cup of coffee. Both of those guys are accomplished amateur wrestlers, and Chad Gable for a while has been a very fantastic performer. Whether it was Shorty G, whether it was anything they gave to him, American Alpha, which was really good stuff, he's just continued to evolve, to grow, and to just learn new things. And, you know, his whole thing with the shoosh and thank you and all that, it was over, man. It was over. They worked a dark match last night. The fans were into it. He's just a great, great performer, great pro wrestler. Otis, he found a niche for himself there, turning heel, cutting his hair, you know, challenging himself, doing something different to really work for them. And then the Street Profits have kind of fallen, but I just kind of see Montez Ford being that guy that's going to be a breakout star because he has a lot of the stuff, man. You know, he's a solid performer. He can talk. He's athletic. He's exciting. There's an aura to him when he's in there. I'm gonna go. It depends on the money. I'll tell you this much, because if they want to keep that RK-Bro money coming in, and RK-Bro was over last night, they want to keep that RK-Bro money coming in, they really have to, you know, keep them together. But inevitably, they gotta split them up, and I think that's just gonna be a really compelling storyline between now and SummerSlam. So yep. I see Alpha Academy going over in this one, and I see both the Street Profits and RK-Bro breaking up.
All right, we'll see. I will say.
We'll see what
exactly
happens.
It's going to be a very entertaining
match. But
that's
what I'd like to see. Yeah.
No, listen, that's why we tune in. Speaking of entertaining, Sami Zayn will face Johnny Knoxville in apparently a no-holds-barred or anything-goes match. I think this is going to be, I think, sort of the humor of the show. With anything goes, it just kind of just makes it predictable where you assume or maybe conclude that the cast of Jackass is going to come in and do something to help Johnny Knoxville. They'll probably take some ridiculous bumps because that's all these crazy idiots do, put their bodies in harm's way. Listen, being a mark, I'd like to see Johnny Knoxville go over because that's what tends to happen in these matches. The celebrity tends to go over on the star. A couple of times it doesn't happen, but I'd be honest with you, Sami Zayn, I haven't liked his gimmick. You know, he looks like some, I don't know, guy that doesn't bathe and shave from Occupy Wall Street, but hey, whatever, it's worked for him. He's done great work as a heel. You know, again, a lot more compelling than as a babyface. Certainly he's been doing great things. But if history tells us anything, there's a good chance that Johnny Knoxville might somehow win this Anything Goes match.
Sami Zayn's doing the best stuff of his career right now, honestly. As a babyface, he sucked. He was just a good worker. He wasn't really a good promo. The best he ever was as a babyface was as Generico. But he's just on a different level, man. He really is. He's really stepped it up, and he gets it, and he's able to adapt, and he's able to make things work. Everything that you described about his appearance, about everything that he was, that's by design. You're supposed to hate somebody like him. That's why he's doing it. So he's just really – he's impressed the fuck out of me, man, honestly, because there's a lot of guys that I wasn't too big on that they signed, the Ring of Honor guys early on. And him and Rollins were two guys I wasn't really too big on. But, man, did they just step it up and kind of find something. I think they're going to do some good stuff in that, believe it or not. I think the Jackass cast is going to get involved. I think Sammy's character might stab him in the back and kind of screw him over in this match because he's been incredibly annoying to everybody. And nobody's going to really want to go out there and have his back. So, I mean, unless, you know, KO after he gets his ass beat, but who knows. But I wouldn't be surprised if Johnny Knoxville goes over in this. I would not.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if Johnny Knoxville won.
Yeah. Again, it wouldn't be the first time that a celebrity does, you know, wouldn't be the first time.
Yeah, but I think Sammy's got to stiff the shit out of him and just lay him out and beat him. And I think it's going to be good, though. There's going to be some really – I mean, this is going to make AEW dark, AEW dark elevation, AEW in an elevator, Dynamite, whatever crazy spot fest stuff that's out there. I think this is going to take the cake and be worse in that sense. But we'll see.
No,
it should be
definitely an entertaining match for sure. And, again, it's got a lot of pop culture appeal, right, with the new release of the Jackass movie. Johnny Knoxville being one of those iconic characters, right, in the last 20 years, right, that we've watched since the MTV days. We'll see. You mentioned Seth Rollins. Thus far, he does not have a match in WrestleMania. There's been a lot of rumors about whether or not Cody Rhodes appears this week in the go-home show. I don't think that'll happen. I don't know what Seth Rollins is going to be doing, to be honest with you, man. So interesting to see he's not on the card as of yet. That could change in the coming days as we have the go-home show for Raw, and certainly we have SmackDown as well. In the main event Sunday, champion versus champion for the first time since WrestleMania 6, the iconic match between Hulk Hogan and the Ultimate Warrior, you know, title for title. But this is a unification, a little slightly different than what we saw with Hogan and the Warrior. It's a winner-take-all unification match between the WWE champion Brock Lesnar and the Universal champion Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns doing the best stuff of his career for the last 587 days, I think. Brock Lesnar, you can tell he's having fun, rocking the cowboy hat, rocking the lumberjack vest, which they're even selling now, which is hysterical. I leave it to Vince to never, hey, listen, if there's a buck to be made, Vince McMahon's there to do that. I think this match has been entertaining. It's funny how the marks online are bitching and moaning about, oh, well, this is just dragging out. When are we going to be done with this? Guess what? Vince will be done with it when it stops drawing gate. And let's be honest, it's never stopped drawing gate. Reigns and Lesnar is an attraction, will continue to be an attraction. I would argue, now again, Pat, you know, again, because of the word unification, I kind of tend to believe that Vince is, you know, if you're unifying the titles, you're not going to dissolve the WWE Championship, right, the most coveted champion in the history of professional wrestling, for the Universal Championship. So I just get the sense that, because, again, the word unification in there, that leads me to believe that Brock Lesnar is going over. And as much as Vince would like to boil piss and annoy people, he's not going to dissolve the WWE title. I'm sorry. That's just the way I look at this match.
Bueno, so the people that complain about this being the 6th, the 7th, the 8th, the 20th match that these guys have had, I say this. Didn't you complain that Vince doesn't do long-term storytelling? Well, what's this? If anything, this is long-term storytelling, right? I'm seeing, and this is, call me crazy, but this is the scenario I'm kind of laying out in my head, okay? Hear me out. I'm saying that Roman goes over. Roman wins both belts, and in a Shane Douglas moment, throws down the WWE title and says, "That's the past. The past is dead. I'm the future. I'm the head of the table," and raises the Universal Championship as the championship now for the WWE. So what does that set up for next year at WrestleMania? The Rock coming back and possibly beating Roman to bring back the WWE title, right? And maybe you get two matches out of it, and Roman goes over, and that's it, and you're good, you know? Or they do it where Rock brings back the WWE title himself, and he faces Roman at WrestleMania, and, you know, somehow maybe they either turn Roman or they do one match each night. You never know. They could do anything. But you get the gist of what I'm trying to say here. That would be something that would be interesting. Roman throwing down the WWE title and rejecting the past and be like, "I'm tired of all you marks talking about the past and how much better it was. I'm the best there is now." You know? Tell me that wouldn't be heat. Tell me that wouldn't just make Roman even bigger now. Right?
Pat, I don't disagree with you. I think they're all very valid points, as always. I just look at it from the sake of it's the name. It's the WWE Championship.
Who cares? It's heat. It's a fucking imaginary championship. I mean, look, here's the thing, though. Like, to the fans, to people that get caught up in the emotions of that, it's just so absurd. It's a fucking pretend title that they can bring back. They could do anything they want. They could put the title on the moon. They could take that title and put it on the moon if they want to. So it's a pretend championship, but you're creating more compelling storylines by doing it. You know? I'm just saying.
No, listen, you raised good points. Because of the word unification in there, I just kind of get the sense that, you know, it's an easy way to dissolve the Universal title. Not to say it's not been prestigious. A lot of great people have held it. Not so many, some others, not so many, but other great Universal champions. Listen, I think this match is going to rock the house. I'd like to think Lesnar goes over. I can't imagine Vince keeping this title on Reigns for another full calendar year, but it's not the first time we've seen that. Obviously, we've seen Vince keep titles on people for years, so it wouldn't shock me if Reigns goes over.
It also depends. It depends on what Brock is doing after WrestleMania. And I'm assuming that Brock's taking time off after WrestleMania. So if Brock's taking time off after WrestleMania, you get Roman, get his win back, right? You do it. You have Brock overcome all the BS, you know, the Usos, whatever, you know, and you know, Roman gets a win over Rock clean, right? So now Roman does that, and he throws down the WWE title. And look, I get it. Fans get emotional about that. But you got to understand, man, it's a pretend championship. It's a pretend championship, okay? At the end of the day, that is what it is. What, it's not going to exist if they take it off TV? You know? Come on.
No, I get that. I'm sure.
It's still going to exist.
No, listen, I think the idea you just gave, I think, makes a lot of sense. I think it's going to be maybe something that Vince floats around during creative, during the meetings, and he looks at how to book this. It'll be interesting, I think, for sure, man. Again, it's a great, great card both nights, you know, Saturday and Sunday. Folks, check it out on Peacock, obviously. You know, it's the Super Bowl of pro wrestling, right? It's the pay-per-view we all love every springtime, and it's going to be great next weekend, folks, in Dallas, Texas. Pat, let's move on to some news real quick before our main topic for the week. Listen, certainly the announcement of Paul Levesque, a.k.a. Triple H, announcing his retirement from in-ring competition, I think really shocked the wrestling world yesterday. He was doing some interviews on ESPN with Screamin' A. Smith, some other stuff on Bleacher Report. Listen, dude, you know, he's had a great career. I don't want to sound malicious here, but it sounds like, you know, all those years of maybe abusing some substances for whatever reason, maybe caught up to him. You know, according to him, a defibrillator has been installed into his chest after he had some heart problems last year. It was reported maybe it was a heart attack, maybe it wasn't. I don't know. I'm not a medical doctor, but it was reported that he has a defibrillator, which again prevents him from in-ring competition right now. Who knows? The miracles of modern science and medicine are always changing, as we know. You know, it's a sad day to see one of those, the last stars, really, of an era that we loved, right? You know, we've seen Undertaker retiring, essentially, being inducted into the Hall of Fame next weekend in, you know, WrestleMania in Dallas. You know, Shawn Michaels being retired, Triple H now retiring. Listen, it's a little nostalgia. You've loved Paul Levesque, going back to when he first started as Terror Rising in WCW. Vince signed him in 1994, brought him over as this aristocratic, obnoxious, you know, heel from Greenwich, Connecticut, Hunter Hearst Helmsley. And, bro, he's grown into arguably one of the top 10 workers in the history of professional wrestling, from the creating D-Generation X, to breaking up the group, to going into a singles career, great championship run. Listen, he's been a great creative mind, the brain trust behind NXT for some time. He'll be sorely missed. I hope to see him again in the ring one time, but his health comes first.
Absolutely. You know, it's been a rough going for the Click lately. And, you know, I mean, I think this is kind of something that was, you know, quietly acknowledged some time ago. But it's hard, man. I think I speak for anybody that's ever stepped in a ring and has ever wrestled and has ever been in front of a crowd. There's nothing like it. And it's hard, especially when you go from being at that, like, type of level, you know, and just experiencing the highest of the highs and sometimes the lowest of the lows, to have to like go and sit in an office and just, you know, do a straight job. You know what I mean? It's, I don't know, man. It's sad. It's sad. I mean, he's contributed a lot to wrestling, and I know I kind of joke around and call him Sean Blackie, but he was a lot more than Sean Blackie, you know, at times he was Sean's equal. And you know, as a performer, as a mind for wrestling, you know, as an executive, as a booker, as a guy who's in charge of creative, he's done so much for wrestling, and he's kept so much of what made wrestling great years ago still alive today. So for me, I've been privileged to be able to see so much of his career. I remember when he returned at MSG, you know, when he came back leading up to the WrestleMania with Chris Jericho. Being able to see him perform as champion, that run he had in 2000, those great matches that he had with Mick Foley, his matches with Shawn, his matches really with anybody, you know? And of course, how could we ever forget KD Vick? But, you know, Triple H to me is a guy that has contributed so much. And, I hope that his condition can at least have him, you know, be somehow able to help the next generation of talent in wrestling, you know, still be able to kind of fulfill some of his duties in NXT. But if that's not in the cards and his health is first, because I can only imagine that it's very stressful, then, you know, his family needs him, you know, screw us, like, you know, but just, yeah, man, I'm very grateful to be able to see a lot of Triple H's matches and, you know, first ballot Hall of Famer next year, you know, like, come on, he's got to be the one. So, yeah, man, great career, sad to see, but really happy that it happened, man. And all the best to Triple H and his family.
No, absolutely. And again, it'll be interesting to see what comes of his, you know, post in ring competition years for sure. Pat, you know, this week, you know, listen, we've talked off the air about it, and I think that, you know, we'll sort of piggyback a little bit off of our Scott Hall dedication show last week. But, you know, this week, you listen, I'm just going to put it out there. I would argue that social media, I think elements of the internet have ruined pro wrestling. They really have, in my opinion. And I think that it's created a toxic environment for some time now. Listen, let's go back to the mid-90s, right? The infancy of the internet. We talk about, you know, when Scott Hall debuted on Memorial Day, May 27, 1996. That was an iconic moment in pro wrestling history during that Nitro. And it started off really, the Monday Night Wars were already in full effect, but I mean, this really accelerated it. And we had no idea this was happening. We knew that Scott Hall was leaving WWF. We were reading about it. We saw that he got squashed by Vader at an In Your House in April. So we said, okay, well, he's on his way out. Fine. And, you know, from that moment on, it was great to, you know, it's a great, you know, tool for us to learn information. Obviously, YouTube, watching old wrestling matches. So, again, I don't want to just say the internet has been awful. It hasn't been. It's been a great resource. But, bro, since then, and social media has just created this toxic environment. I'm sorry. We can't learn anything anymore. We can't be surprised. Yeah, there's been a handful of surprises maybe in the last decade, but come on, you can count them on one hand, right? The Hardys debuting at WrestleMania in Orlando in 2017, maybe a couple others, but by and large, man, the internet, and as a fan, as a mark for guys and girls over the years, like I want to be surprised, and I think that's what, that was the allure of the Monday Night Wars. Like, we really didn't know who was going to show up on Raw or Nitro. It was just, again, maybe I'm just being naive, maybe I'm being too nostalgic or being too much of a traditionalist. Bro, I'm sorry. Like, the days of being surprised are over. We got people pretending to be journalists who have been journalists, like Dave Meltzer, wannabe journalists like Brian Alvarez. Listen, there's some good wrestling journalists out there. I don't want to just defecate on the profession. But Jesus Christ, like, can we just be surprised a little bit? Like, can I not know everything that's going to go on every single week or hear, oh, well, this person's coming tomorrow or this person's – like, I want to be surprised, Pat. And we just don't get that anymore. And I get it. We can't put the genie back in the bottle. I get that. Social media is everywhere. You know, the internet has grown exponentially. But come on, bro. Like, folks, like, I want to be surprised again. That's – bro, that's the allure of pro wrestling, the surprise element, the shock factor. Like, those are things that we grew up loving. It's why we still love pro wrestling. It's why that we followed it since we were children. I'm sorry, we don't get that. And I know you're a father. I'm hoping to be one day, God willing. But the bottom line is, like, our kids are never really going to know that allure that we grew up with, which is, again, the surprise element. I think social media and the internet, to some extent, I'm sorry, it's ruined it. There's no way to change my mind on this.
Well, I remember a long time ago when I was, like, getting into, like, wrestling, getting into, like, the wrestling business, hanging out at indie shows, talking to workers, people that were, you know, willing to kind of, like, give some information, some guidance, and seeing how, like, some of those workers reacted to certain sect of fans. You know, now mind you, this is the late 90s, early 2000s. So I was like in my teens here, you know, early teens. And just seeing how they acted every time these marks were around and seeing the kind of questions that they asked because they knew somebody who knew somebody that told them something about something and they thought that they knew, it really, really like annoyed a lot of the boys, you know, and especially the girls. So, I mean, that in itself kind of grew from like that smaller level, you know, and it kind of got enhanced by the internet. You know, I remember the early days of the chat rooms and just seeing like some of the toxicity, some of the garbage that would come out of there simply because somebody was doing a gimmick, simply because somebody was just, you know, working and doing what they were supposed to be doing as a wrestler. And that was always received negatively. And I think through time, a lot of them kind of, you know, grew along with social media, were able to kind of mobilize a little bit more, kind of be able to find each other and just be able to bond over their hatred of certain things. And with the expansion of the internet, it only got worse and it only got amplified. And now the biggest one of them all is you see fans coming out and telling people who have actually either worked in the wrestling business, have been wrestlers, have an understanding of wrestling, have been bookers, have been whatever, trying to tell them that they know more about wrestling and how to book wrestling than they do, or how they know how to do their job better than they do. And that, to me, is just completely absurd. Because I don't walk into an operating room and say, hey, guys, let me suit up, get a scalpel, let me start chopping up in there. All right? This is how you do it there, pal. All right? Don't mess that up. Hold that for me. Like, no, I don't do that. I don't do that. You know, I'm not assembling a car. I'm not like walking into a car assembly line and telling them what to do, because I don't know how to do that, because I didn't train in how to do that. And there's a certain level of understanding. And maybe for as much as you might like something and for as much as you might feel like you know about it, if you actually don't put in the time learning it and learning it correctly, you're never going to know. So that's what I think it's kind of bred more than anything else nowadays, this insistence, this arrogance that people have, that they think that they know more than people who have been in the wrestling business. I mean, I see people getting into it with workers all the time about stuff about wrestling, not even social bullshit, not even subjective stuff, wrestling, talking to them about wrestling. And again, does anybody come to you at your job and tell you how to do your job that isn't either a part of the administration or isn't a part of anything, you know, that doesn't necessarily work? Does anybody come in there and tell you how to do it?
No, of course not. No.
Nobody comes in and tells you how to teach, right? Nobody comes in and tells you how to teach, right? Nobody comes in and tells you how to do that that isn't somebody that works there, right? Okay, so then why do marks feel that they could do that to wrestlers? Why do they feel like they could do that to people that have actually known? Okay, Vince McMahon has forgotten more than most people will ever know in their lifetime, and yet everybody takes him to task every single minute of the day. It's insane. So, yeah, I think the internet's bred a disgusting audience, and to your point, it's spoiled a lot of things. It's spoiled a lot of things. Nothing is really preserved anymore, and I think that some of them understand. I mean, you know, another one that happened, right, like kind of when it was starting to happen was Jericho. Remember when Jericho came back at the Rumble and it was a big surprise? You know, nobody knew about that, really. That just happened, and that was organic, and the pop was organic. But when you have people that know, it's like, you know, and that's been the crappy part. And like CM Punk, for example, his return, I mean, granted, people can say whatever they want about it. I think it's been a little lackluster in AEW, honestly, outside of some of the stuff he did with MJF. But, like, you know, if the internet didn't know about CM Punk coming back, think about how much bigger that would have been. Think about how much more powerful that would have been. You know what I mean? So the internet's definitely ruined a lot of things, but it's also made it easier, I think, for all of us to be able to watch wrestling. And I think it's also kind of created things like streaming services, like whether it was the WWE Network or Peacock. But it's a way for us to be able to pay less and watch more. Whereas back in the day, you either had a hot box or you had to pay the pony up to, the $50. So, you know, it's two sides of a coin, but the marks, the disgusting ones, you know who you are. You're the worst.
I'm with you. And I think what really bothers me about this, bro, is the idea that there's no self-awareness. You know, there's no self-awareness by either the so-called wrestling journalists, right, like Meltzer and Alvarez, and that entire Lollipop Guild, right, that makes up The Observer and the 27 programs that they broadcast every week. I mean, there's still some great wrestling journalists out there. I don't want to disparage them because they do good work. Wade Keller, others as well. But it's just, I don't know, man. It really, really
You forget about Sean
me.
Ross Sapp. Sean Ross Sapp, he's another one.
Yep.
He thinks he's like this all-powerful, all-knowing genius. And he gets into it with people that are wrestlers that are trained. He gets into it with people over fucking wrestling, and it's insane. It's insane. Just recently, he got into it with QT Marshall. Like, people could say what they want about QT Marshall, but that dude knows how to wrestle. He knows a lot about wrestling. He trains a lot of wrestlers, you know? And this guy's getting into it with him, talking about something about wrestling that he knows nothing about. So they ended up blocking each other, and it was this whole big thing. And he's like kind of like, oh, you know, I got this thing going with this guy. And it's like it's stupid because you're empowering this idiot. You're empowering this idiot. So what happens? One day, let's say he's at AEW or something, and he gets popped in the mouth. Then what? Is he going to write about that? He's not. You know, so it's just ridiculous. But he's another one. He's another example. I mean, Alvarez, too. And Alvarez at least could fight, you know. But Alvarez, too, he's another one. He's, like, super opinionated. And the thing that gets me about them is that they know what the difference is between WWE, what they are trying to do, and what AEW is trying to do. They know that, yes, they're both two wrestling products, but their end game is kind of different, you know, and it's kind of evolved. AEW is kind of, well, I can't even really say that, but the concept of what AEW is what WWE used to be years ago, you know, pro wrestling, all that stuff. You know, that's an outdated concept for them. They're sports entertainment now. They're bigger than that. You know, they don't want to box themselves in as just wrestling. And these guys, they rate WWE, and, you know, they watch WWE, and they just complain about it, and they treat it as if it has to be the same as AEW and New Japan, and it's not. It's just not. And you know that. So why are you going to act like, oh, I don't understand why they're doing all this soap opera? Well, I mean, you know, you got to understand, you know, Vince doesn't even know what he's doing. You know, I mean, you know, he's booking the card the day of, you know, and you got Meltzer saying all that stuff, talking like all this nonsense. And it's like, you know, Meltzer, at least I respect, because Meltzer used to be something for the boys, man. You know, he used to be a resource for the boys, for them to get around. And he was a wrestling historian, but he knows better. These guys know better. They know what the difference is between WWE and AEW. They know what they're going to do and what the other one's not going to do. Do you really think that WWE is going to have that garbage indie bullshit with the 50 fucking dives and the 75,000 Canadian destroyers and the super kick through the table? Like, you know, like, you think they're going to do that? Do you see WWE booking some stuff like that? No.
No,
because
not
when
at
they
all.
Do their high spots, they got a guy like Ricochet doing it, who's actually really good at it, who's a fantastic performer, who's a trained professional. Not some indie goof hack who has a little bit of heat, you know? Nah, man.
I went off on a rant here. No, you're good. The problem is, I would say again, that bothers me is the idea that, you know, fans and marks, again, listen, I have this argument all the time on my group chat with classmates from grad school, and we go at it all the time, and I tell you about it, and we talk off the air. The bottom line is it's just like whether it's how it's presented, what we're learning. Like, again, we're never going to get back, bro, to the mid-90s, late 90s, where, again, the internet was still in its infancy. The internet was nowhere near as advanced as it is now with, I mean, hundreds of websites. We have podcasts now, right, with former workers, former managers, former creative minds that are doing podcasts weekly. Yes, we've learned a lot about the business because of this. Books. From Ric Flair to Bret Hart to Charlotte Flair to others that have written, Hulk Hogan have written books about the business. I get all that, okay? But this just, the problem is, again, social media has made this problem, just unavoidable now. And again, you know, I just like to be surprised. I mean, yes, we know Cody didn't re-sign with AEW. When is he debuting? I don't know. He's debuting Monday. We know Veer Mahan is finally debuting Monday. Wow, okay. That's great. We've seen vignettes on TV. But, like, let's just be a little surprised. Again, maybe I'm asking for too much. Maybe I'm unrealistic going back thinking, hey, we can go back to May 27, 1996 when Scott Hall showed up on Nitro. We'll never live through that again. I understand this. But can you give us a little bit of a surprise? It just seems like everyone's so eager to report this. I get it. Listen, dude, I'm in journalism. I get it. I'm not traditional journalism where I'm trying to report news every day and break a story and be the first one out there with the story before someone else. No, that's not me. I'm opinion journalism. It's a little bit different. And I get that that's a product of the journalistic business.
But dude, it's like, it just seems like pro wrestling is falling to that same rabbit hole. And I'm sorry, there's no way to get out of it now. And I think that's what's taken away from me the product a little bit. Pat, you still with us? Pat, you still with
Hello?
Us?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Sorry about that.
Yes.
I agree with you 100%.
But, I mean, it's I don't know. It's, to me, and what's worse is that the marks, I think, go along with this. And the marks enable this more by feeding legitimacy and credibility to some of these so-called wrestling journalists. I think they're falling for the gimmick, too.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people are all in on it, man. And you know, the thing is, it's like, you see a lot of this, like, wrestling's for everyone. And it's true, wrestling is for everyone. But, like, they think, like, well, you know, I could just go and get in the business, or I could just go and have an opinion. It's like, no. That's not what it is. If you're going to be involved in wrestling, you have to have an understanding and a grasp of what professional wrestling is about, and you have to train. You got to pay your dues, man. You got to pay your dues. And I think, you know, a lot of these marks get emboldened because maybe, you know, somebody will like their stuff and, you know, they'll have a degree in, like, journalism or something. And then all of a sudden, you know, next thing you know, they're being hired to talk some stuff. I mean, you know, it's happened a lot throughout the history of wrestling, but at least those people paid those dues. You know, there's a lot of people that just kind of just walk in and just haven't paid a due and don't respect anything and treat it like it's something else when there's a code that, you know, that goes on backstage. There's stuff that you have to respect, you know, whether you think it's stupid or not, you have to, you know, because that's what it's about. And that's the respect for the business, and that's the respect for the boys. So, yeah, I think that's stuff that the fans are never going to understand, honestly, no matter how hard they try. And it is what it is, unfortunately. But I tune it out. I tune it out because I really don't. I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear it. It's all nonsense to me.
And again, I think what my thing is that, you know, I look at the presentation right now and I look at, listen, and we read it, right? I listen to The Observer every day just to see what nonsense they spew. I'll listen to Conan and Disco. I'll listen to Cornette. I'll listen to Bischoff and Conrad. I'll listen to Wade Keller. I'll listen to others that have shows because I'm interested. You know, I'm entertained. I like to sort of spend my time during the day at work when I'm listening to something and I want to be informed. It's not always informative. It's not always insightful. But what bothers me is that now, again, it's this empowerment we've given to these people on social media and these podcasts. And again, nothing against the workers or former creative minds. Those I'll respect. I may not always agree with, like we talk about, I mean, I always agree with what Cornette says or Conan or Disco Inferno or Bischoff or Conrad or JR or Bruce Pritchard. Okay, great. What infuriates me is Mark's having shows. And again, I'm a Mark having a show, so I don't want to call the pot calling the kettle black here. But at least what we try to do here is be a little responsible and be a little ethical in the way we're talking about pro wrestling. You're a former worker. I'm a Mark. I'm a fan. I just think what we're trying to do is a lot more consistent, bro.
Absolutely. And again, I think we also have respect for the business. I think we also have respect for people and for their understanding. I mean, look, for as much as you might criticize whatever you don't like about Vince, you still respect Vince McMahon. And you still respect what Vince McMahon has accomplished. And there's a lot of fans that don't. They just think that Vince McMahon is the Vince McMahon character. He's some asshole on TV that's just got a bunch of money and he's just doing whatever he wants. I don't care. It's show business, man. It's gotta fluctuate. Things fluctuate. Sometimes what you plan to go one way doesn't. Sometimes that thing that you didn't even think about ends up blowing up. It's just what happens, you know? And you gotta ride that wave and you gotta be able to make those decisions. And that's what Vince does. You know, fans are never gonna understand that. They're just gonna view it from the perspective of the worker, and they're just gonna view it from the perspective of whatever quote unquote journalist is giving them bird feeding them their news. And that's just what it is. And I think that's just the way it's going to stay for a while. So I just, again, I stay away from it. I don't look at it. I don't watch it. And I want nothing to do with it. Because to me, it's the worst part of wrestling. You know, yesterday when I was there with my son, you know, there was nobody really acting up. There was a couple of people that tried to say dumb things, but it's just like, whatever. Like, you know, they're marks. They're going to say dumb stuff. But for the most part, everybody was fine. Everybody was fine, you know? And that's the kind of environment that, like, I think is good for families, that I think is generally good for everybody, you know? I mean, obviously there might be a section of the crowd that might do whatever, you know, get heat or whatever, you know? Like, if a worker's out there, you know, a certain guy, a certain heel, I get that. But I mean, you know, don't ruin it for fucking people that are just getting into it now, because you used to be that person. You know, we all were that kid. You know, we all were that kid. And, you know, some people's parents did tell them what it was and tell them it was a work. And some, you know, some kids actually, you know, kept going on with it and they loved it and it was great. So, you know, it's all about, like, the next fan. And I think that's the point, you know, which you've mentioned before, that Vince is at now, where it's no longer about people like us. It's about people like my son and the younger generation, you know?
You know what? And unfortunately, this is what's happened. It's ruined it for younger generations. I think, again, you can't put the genie back in the bottle. You just can't. And I understand that. I'm not trying to be resistant to it. But it's infuriating, dude, because let me enjoy pro wrestling. Like, let us enjoy something that still millions of people find enjoyable and entertaining. I don't know, man. I think it's a sad state of affairs when it comes to wrestling journalism, because I think that is going by the wayside. And now it's just about sensationalism. It's about clickbait. And again, I don't want to sound hypocritical here, because part of my opinion journalism brand is doing that, is getting clickbait, is saying certain things to get views and traffic. I understand that. So I don't lack self-awareness. However, what I'm not trying to do is contribute to a toxic environment. But I think people like Meltzer and the others do that and they don't realize it. And again, as long as you keep getting subscribers that spend $12 a month on their garbage programming, I'm sorry, I don't want to sound malicious here, but you know, I can think of better things to do with $12 every month, Pat.
Well, here's another thing, Fern. You know, people wonder, like, why people subscribe to them. People wonder why these guys, you know, keep putting this stuff out. But, you know, Meltzer's trying to survive. All these guys are trying to survive. And their brand of journalism, sensationalism, whatever you want to call it, you know, they're out there for people to consume. And a lot of people don't like Vince. So they're willing to pay those $12 a month to hear other people that are probably more accomplished than them or actually have some roots in wrestling, tell them and kind of justify, like, hey, how I feel about Vince is right. It's accurate. See, this guy says so. And they don't realize that they're being worked into it too, because Meltzer's been proven to be wrong a lot of the time. And I think Meltzer might have some type of heat with people in the E where they don't even want to bother with him, or whoever his stooges are, whoever he gets his sources from. They're just, like, giving him, like, red herrings all the time because they know what he's about. And here's the funny thing, too. He'll spoil WWE, but he won't spoil AEW. He doesn't spoil AEW, you know? And you never see him talking about any of the controversies surrounding AEW. Did he mention anything about Big Swole and Tony Khan and all that stuff that went on there? You know? Did he mention anything about any of that stuff? Of course not. So anything that's against AEW, he's not going to say anything bad about, because it's presumed that they're in some type of business together. Who knows? But it all feeds the same demographic, the same demo. You know, it's that anti-Vince crowd. It's that we want wrestling to be something else, which I don't know, that it's they want it to be indie wrestling on a bigger scale. And there's a reason why the indie wrestling only works on that smaller scale. You know, it doesn't work for, like, a big audience. You can't do that consistently over a long period of time and it be effective, it be interesting, and it still be, you know, the workers still be safe. You know, I mean, it's only a matter of time before Sting, all those other guys, they get hurt, you know? But the fans are what's telling Tony Khan, hey, keep booking this, keep doing this, keep doing this, keep doing this. And, you know, they're not really growing outside of going up marginally or going down marginally. It's just little by little, bam, 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 bam. Up a little, down a little, up a little, down a little, but never really growing, never really blowing up outside of maybe like either what was the highest score that they got on the ratings? What was the highest rated episode that they had at Dynamite?
I think it approached 1.2, if not a little over 1.2, but it's never cracked 1.3 or 1.4, and that should tell
what
you something.
What was Punk's debut? Because Punk's debut, but Punk's debut was
a million
one-off.
Something. It wasn't that high.
Yeah. Okay. Well, see, but that's the thing. Like, they cater too much to that audience that they never grow it. They really never really have any star involvement. They don't do any of the things that Vince do. But again, it's all motivated by those fans, those vocal fans. I mean, Tony Khan interacts with these fans. Tony Khan's a billionaire, and he's interacting with marks that live in, like, a shack or something, or in, like, some hole in the ground they call a basement, you know? And he's actually talking to these people, and he's getting into it with them. He's getting into it with them. Do you think Vince would ever do that? Vince would never do that. So you know, that to me is a byproduct of the mark culture. It's a byproduct of the internet thing. I mean, it's just all one big thing that's kind of led us to where we are now. It really, really is. But yeah, Meltzer, those dudes, they do that stuff to survive. Because how else are they going to survive? How else? Especially if they have heat with Vince's people.
It's mind-blowing to me about the state of journalism and what it's doing on the internet and what it's doing on social media, bro. It's mind-boggling to me. It really, really is. You know, and
absolutely.
It's sad because it really brings down the product. I mean, is that fair to say, though?
I don't know if it brings down the product because, you know what, again, it depends the kind of viewer that you are. It might annoy you and you might not want to watch it, or you might want to watch it. I don't know. It depends how you feel. But to me, like I said, I see this stuff and I laugh because it's just absurd. It's absurd that these people actually think that they know what they're doing. It's absurd, you know, like, and what they're actually talking about, you know. It's just, I think it's a cycle that, you know, like I said, I just try to shut it out and I just try to enjoy the product. I don't want to know spoilers. I might come across some things, but in general, I don't want to know spoilers. I don't. Like, I don't want to look at anything leading up to WrestleMania. I don't want to see any dirt sheets, nothing. Because I want to actually enjoy what's going to happen, you know? And there's ways to tune it out. Yeah, I'm with you. I think, you know, we can't put the genie back in the bottle, and it's gonna stay that way for quite some time. But before we go though, can we talk about something real quick? An AEW topic?
Absolutely, brother.
Okay, so I'm pretty sure you remember because we had talked about it, but this past week in AEW. There was a couple of pretty controversial segments there that got some heat on Instagram. One of them featured Sammy Guevara, Ty Conti, and American Top Team. Dan Lambert had come out wearing the second TNT championship, you know, and he was kind of going back and forth with Sammy there. And Sammy and Ty kind of implied that they had, you know, seasoned the belt. And you know, Dan Lambert was kissing the belt and it was just a little, so, some people were, you know, they thought the segment was fine. They thought it was kind of a throwback maybe to like an Attitude Era type of thing. But other people were actually quite upset. And one of them was Eddie Kingston, who, had actually mentioned on his Twitter, hey, this is what we do with the belt that's dedicated to our dead friends, which they did in fact dedicate the TNT title to Brody Lee. And then obviously the AEW marks went crazy. They had the picture of Shawn Michaels and Playgirl with the belt and all that other stuff, but they didn't dedicate the WWE title to anybody, you know, they did it. And that also kind of reinforces my whole, you know, it's a fucking gimmick title, but yeah, I mean, a lot of people are obviously pretty pissed off about this, but okay. How do you feel about this? What's your take on this?
I'll be honest with you, man. I just think, you know, when I watched this, I looked over at my cousin and I said, well, you know, they're trying just to generate heat. They're trying to be a little raunchy. Again, you know, we always talk about the low-hanging fruit and why it's just the easy way out. Listen, let's be honest. I think they're trying to generate ratings any way they can. They want to get some sort of mainstream pop culture attention, right? Because, you know, Dan Lambert works with American Top Team and some other mainstream people, right? Paige Van Zandt and everything. I just think, listen, I think it was just an attempt to be a little scandalous. It's something we, you know, haven't seen before in pro wrestling. And again, this is my issue with Marks Online. It's like you want edgier products, but when you get them, then you start bitching and moaning. You can't have it both ways, folks. I'm sorry. Here's a newsflash for you. You know, you want edgy content. You want, like, steamy storylines, okay? Maybe not to the extent of what happened in the Attitude Era, per se, because maybe TNT is a little more strict about what they want on their airwaves. But don't you want that? Don't you want a little bit more of a controversial thing? Well, you got it, and you're still going to bitch and moan about it. So either make a decision. You want edgy content, then guess what? Edgy content's a very subjective term. It's under a very broad umbrella. Then deal with it when it happens. Could it have been done better? I don't know, man. I just think that it's another reason for Marks to complain online when they want it both ways, and I'm sorry, that's not the real world. Pat, you still with us? Pat, I hope you're still with us. Pat,
hello?
I think
can you hear me?
Yes.
Jesus.
Yes. I might have lost you there.
I'm still with you there. I'm kind of the belief that it's like, you know, I'm with Kingston on this one, I got to say. Because it's like, you know, this is a belt that you dedicated to a dead friend. This is a belt that you dedicated to a guy that held that championship. You go through all of that, and now all of a sudden you're letting these guys, you know, season the belt. But on the same token, I get what you're saying. You want edgy content. This is what you want. This is what you're going to get. Speaking of edgy content, there was another segment on the show where Thunder Rosa came out with her title, be interviewed, I believe, by, was it Tony Schiavone?
Correct.
And was met by Vicky Guerrero. Vicky Guerrero came out and then started mentioning that Thunder Rosa wasn't even from Texas, that she probably didn't have her green card or her papers, and started getting heat. And while she was getting into a war of words a bit with Thunder Rosa, Nyla Rose attacked her from behind and set up a potential matchup there. Now, look, for me, this is something that's as old as a headlock in wrestling. You know, it's an angle to get heat. It's something, you know, that's obviously going to get a reaction, especially, you know, to a Mexican-American audience down there in Texas. Like, come on, you know? But, of course, people got mad and brought in the fact that Vicky Guerrero is a Trump supporter and all this other stuff, which, to be quite honest, whether you like Trump, hate Trump, or whatever, it has nothing to do with the storyline. It has nothing to do with the storyline. If anything, it might even enhance it just a slight bit. But it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. What people's religion, politics, whatever, it's irrelevant when you're out there, you know? And Vicky's just doing something to get heat. She's doing something that she knows will get heat. Obviously, that triggered a lot of fans online. And, you know, the rest we already kind of have an idea of where it went. Profe, your thoughts on this?
Bro, you know, again, it's exhausting to have to deal with, as a fan, reading internet chatter and reading social media about the way the products are presented. Bro, again, it goes back to, again, as we're closing out the show here, It's one of those things where, you know, fans, again, don't know what they want sometimes. They don't know what they want from hour to hour, never mind day to day or week to week. And I think that's frustrating. Like, I'm a simple pro wrestling fan. I know what I like. I've grown up watching it for 30-something years, and I like what I like. Am I adaptable to some other things? Sure. But it just seems like a lot of marks online are very strict and rigid. And I think that does a disservice to fandom. And at the end of the day, dude, fandom is all we have.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think, you know, again, they want an edgier product. This is what they're trying to give you in their own strange way. So take it. Take it, you know, or stop complaining or go watch WWE. I don't know what to tell you. But even WWE does stuff to get heat, you know. So it's to me, again, you know, it's as old as a headlock. It's heat. And it's something that's going to get a reaction from people, a visceral reaction from people, and that's why they do it. So who knows you know, where we go with those aforementioned angles. But yeah, I just think it's something that, you know, it's kind of lame, and I think people need to stop. You filthy marks, you know who you are. But okay, let's finish this mother lover out.
Yes, bro, brother, it's been a great show, folks. I hope you've liked it. Check out the episode in its entirety and all our episodes, folks. www.blogtalkradio.com/workingthemarks. If you love the show, write to the inbox, workingthemarks@gmail.com. Also, make sure you check us out on Facebook at workingthemarks. And also, check us out also and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. On Instagram, it's @working_the_marks. And, of course, on Twitter, it's @working_marks, folks. That's our social media. Write to us. We love to hear from you fans. Share the episode whenever you can. And, you know, hey, listen, it's been a great show. Pat, I'll give you the last word here before we go off the air.
Just want to thank you again for being on. Always a pleasure here. Thanks to all the listeners. We appreciate you. Any comments, any concerns, any FUs, any whatever you want to send, any food you want to send, you know, whatever you have, send it our way via email or working the marks on social media. And check out the child actors in the next couple of months. We're going to be playing all over Hudson County, and we'll be posting that up on the child actors Instagram, which you can check out on Instagram.
Stupendous! WrestleMania weekend, folks, coming up. Check it out. The biggest pay-per-view of the year on Peacock. It's the Super Bowl of pro wrestling / sports entertainment. I know what Pat's laughing about. I'm sorry. A premium live event.
Yes.
You know, yes. Next week on Peacock. Folks, check it out. We'll be back on the airwaves on Blog Talk Radio in a couple of weeks. We'll do a little bit of a WrestleMania review. We'll see what the next pay-per-view is, most likely Backlash or some other
WrestleMania Backlash
there.
Is the next premium live event.
Jesus Christ. Well, folks, he is New Jersey's premier wrestling analyst, Patrick Vincent Rivera. I'm New Jersey's premier journalist, Fernando Uribe. Saying so long, folks. Enjoy WrestleMania, and we'll see you next time here on Blog Talk Radio. Thank you.